Minnie Whiting Priestley. Autobiography. I was introduced into the family on September 5, 1899, the eighth child and fourth daughter of Edwin M. and Mariah Whiting. I was a baby longer than the other children, as I was 5 years old when Arthur was born. I always needed mother for my own peace of mind. I wanted to know where she was every hour of the day. Even now, when storms come into my life, I often cry for her. No child ever grew up in a better home. I can't think of one principle taught in my home that was not good. If I have strayed in any way, it has not been because of any wrong teaching at home. Mother and father loved me and I knew it. My brothers and sisters must have loved me too, because they were so good to me, in a very special way. There was a certain feeling of excitement with every day we lived in the old home by the store in St. John's. It was hurry from the busy work day, to the evening play, story, music, or drama hour. Growing up was a happy experience. Our parents put great emphasis on doing things together. We worked and played together, and it seems like there was always plenty to do working out our plans and adventures. Three of us girls taught school. I taught for 3.5 years, and loved every minute of it. I remember having the idea that my father was not only the best man in the world, but that he knew more about most things than anyone else. I felt sure if he said it, it was true, there was no question about it, and I know now that mother was his equal in many ways and in some she even excelled. They were well mated, indeed, and it is not yet quite clear to me how we were all so aware of the love they had for each other. They did not speak of it often, but every child knew it was so, and I am sure the love they had for each other and their children is the foundation of the security we grew up with. My brothers and sisters were very special, in fact they were a miracle to me. I never quite felt their equal, but I believe I have been treated with more kindness than anyone else in the world. They probably knew I needed it more, and for this I will ever be grateful. Religion became an important part of my life when I was very young. I cannot remember just when I became aware of my dependence upon it, as I depended on the testimony of my parents when I was small. I thank them for this because now I have a testimony of my own, and I hope it is as strong as theirs, and that I might teach my child and grandchildren the importance of a testimony just as my parents taught me. The crowning event of my life came to me when I met Don in Los Angeles. Dr. Furman, the hotel manager, was able to have me sing for Donald Adams and Sylvester Priestley. Don listened, but didn't say a word. Later, he did speak to my mother and asked if she would like him to make arrangements to take me to a fine voice coach. This teacher was coaching Mary Pickford's leading man at that time. As Don and I were leaving the hotel for my first appointment, Mr. Furman pulled me aside and told me there was no use getting my hopes up, because Mr. Priestley never went out much, and he already had a girlfriend over in Riverside. That was a challenge to me. I said to myself that I would have to see about that. The voice teacher missed her first appointment. As Mr. Priestley walked me home, we passed the Paramount movie house where I stopped, looked at the pictures outside, and said, "I'd sure like to see that show, but Mother won't let me go alone." Mr. Priestley's face broke into a grin. "Does your ma want me to take you?" he asked. "I think so," I said. That was our first date. For years after that, when we would go anywhere, he'd ask if my ma wanted him to take me. Even after we were married, he would remind me of that incident. Let me say that it was indeed a miracle that Don and I ever met. We were from different states. He was raised in Salt Lake City and I in a very small town in Arizona. We were not the same age. We never went to the same schools or ward. I never had any friends who knew him. We did not meet in either Arizona or Utah, but in a small hotel in the middle of Los Angeles. Mr. Furman, the manager, said as far as he knew, our family and Don were the only Mormons who had ever stayed in his hotel. Don had a fine dramatic tenor voice, and he recognized the promise in mine. He encouraged me to study singing, so I took a lesson each day. Three voice teachers offered a large scholarship fund as the prize in a voice contest. I won that scholarship, which helped to defray the expense of my costly musical education and gave me some expert teachers. I loved it and worked very hard, singing from 5 to 8 hours a day. The crowning events of my life seemed to come with the music I had suddenly found to enjoy. Soon I was singing with Don on the radio, in concerts, churches and other places that I could have only dreamed of before. I found out that we had one thing in common, and that was the gospel. When Sunday came, we went to church and we began to talk. I found he had been a gospel doctrine teacher for a long time, so I began to take another look at him and to feel proud that I was with him. The real thrill and the thing that made butterflies in my stomach came when he sang love songs to me. I was glad Mother and Dad were there when I met Don. I think one of the things I loved about him was the way he treated Mother and Dad. I knew he loved me because he seemed to love and enjoy them. He did the same thing after we were married too. He always called them Pa and Ma, just like the rest of their in-laws did. I remember how well Mother and Dad got along with their in-laws. They had good ones to get along with and they knew it. I remember nothing but the best feelings between them. I can't remember just when we fell in love, or how, but we surely did, with no hesitation on my part. Don's was the first ring that meant real romance for me. My family referred to Don as that city feller. On the 17th of November, 1928, I married this city fella. Don could really sing, and he had been working with music all of his life. Suddenly my own life became filled with music and voice lessons. Don had two wonderful children when I married him, a beautiful girl named Nellie and a boy named Gordon. Nellie grew up and married my brother Ralph, and the story of their family is in another part of this book. Gordon married Marion Milne and they have three lovely children, Bonnie, Bran, and Donald. Nell and Gordon and their families have been among the choicest blessings of my life. Soon after we were married, Don was put in the Alhambra Ward Bishopric as counselor to Bishop Roscoli, where he served for the next 6 years. This was a rich experience for both of us. In the summer of 1936, Don was asked to return to the Deseret News in Salt Lake City and help the church paper. We left Los Angeles expecting to stay in Salt Lake for only 3 months. We were to return to his job at the Los Angeles Times. But they asked Don to stay and help with the news, so we decided to remain in Salt Lake, even though it meant less wages. Imagine the joy that came to us the very first month we lived in Salt Lake City, when we learned I was pregnant, after being married nearly 9 years. On the first day of the following June, after moving to Los Angeles, we were blessed with a precious baby boy. Complications came along with the birth of our baby that not only threatened his life but mine also. And the day that he was 19 days old, the doctors told Don that neither of us would live. It was a pinched little face they held up in my hospital room that 19th day for me to see the first time. They held him there for only a short moment before they must rush him back to the incubator. At the time, all of my brothers and sisters came to our aid. They traveled to Los Angeles to comfort and help us in any way they could. We did have hard sailing at the first and it looked pretty grim, but never did my husband give up hope, for we had been promised we would get better, and though neither of us has been a shining example of health, we have had much to be thankful for. No child ever brought more joy into a home than little Donnie. He was blessed with a rare, warm personality, and this fact together with his cheerful disposition has made a life of joy for me. He was the light of his daddy's life, and I ask no more of heaven than we had in our home. When Donnie was 8 years old, we lost his daddy, yet he left us so many precious memories and answers to life's problems that we enjoy profound security in our love that cannot be questioned. Yes, He left us with plenty to live with and still be happy through the years. Don had only been dead a few months when Don E. came down with tuberculosis. We had moved from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles and, with the help of my brothers, had built a small motel. 2 years later, it became necessary for me to sell the motel and take Don E. to Arizona and try the warm, dry climate there. He was in bed nearly 4 years, and the day they pronounced him well, he came down with diabetic coma, a surprise to all of us. Don E.'s ability to keep happy through it all has been a blessing to us both, and made my life rich indeed. After 4.5 years out of school, Don E. was allowed to start back, skipping 3 grades. This was not easy for him, but he enjoyed his school and was valedictorian of his class when he graduated from San Gabriel High School. He then filled a 2-year mission in the Northern States Mission, came home, and soon married the girl who had waited for him, Roberta N. Sorensen. He later graduated from Cal State College in Los Angeles, and is just home from 2 years' work at BYU. Roberta is a beautiful and wonderful daughter to me, and has helped Don all through his school by teaching high school. As a crowning blessing, they have given me 2 choice grandchildren, Anne, 8, and Bruce, 5. I see them each day, and help care for them while their mother is teaching. Probably if I have done anything in my life worthwhile, it has been my privilege to have had 8 young girls come into my home and live with me while they waited for a baby to be born that they must give away. There are a few things they had in common. They seemed to be a little selfish. All of them wanted their children to go into religious homes, even though most of them didn't care anything about religion themselves. Some of them cared more than others. They would work and they would pray, and they made sure they did nothing that would hurt the child. They would eat right, try to live right, and get lots of sleep so their babies would be healthy. They had one other thing in common. When they went to sign their babies away, it was really hard. We had a notary public there as a witness when they made that final decision to give their baby away and sign the papers. Even though most of them didn't want to try to keep their baby, they didn't want to sign anything to say that they were giving their babies away, but they had to. Now I'd like to tell you about 30 more girls that I helped. I didn't do this for money. I never got a dime out of it in my life. In fact, keeping the girls cost me money. These other girls were in our church and needed help when they got into trouble. Even though their folks would keep them, some would want their babies placed in good homes. I would spend a great deal of time with them, trying to find homes for their babies. They, too, had the same sad look on their faces when they had to sign their babies away. It was a tragedy in their lives. Many of these girls lived down this trial. Most are living fruitful lives now, but most are scarred from their experience. Their smiles are not very frequent or very intense. It's important to keep yourself clean and pure from any sex sins, because next to murder, it is the hardest to be forgiven for. Even with all the tragedies, all those things we went through, if I have someone who loves me dearly, it's those girls I wept with, prayed with, watched with, and advised. The beautiful letters I get from those girls make me believe that probably the most worthwhile thing I have done, other than marry my husband and give birth to my son, is helping those girls. One more thing I would like to add. Those girls not only lost their babies, they also lost their boyfriends, who got them in trouble. Everyone lost the boy. He was not willing to marry her, or have anything more to do with her. I have come to realize we make our own happiness. It comes from within, if we keep the Lord's commandments. Our Heavenly Father truly does want us to have a glad heart and a cheerful countenance. I have loved life, and never cease to be amazed at the good things that are coming my way. I feel no one has had as many blessings as I have. I ask the Lord to help me to finish my life in grateful gratitude for all of these things.